Thank you, Beckham. What a great reminder. I have this hope, right? No matter what we're going through in this life, we most assuredly can have hope that God is with us. No matter if we recognize His presence, no matter if we are hearing His voice at the time, He is absolutely there with us. I want to have you turn in your Bibles this morning to Luke chapter 2. I want to begin a series of messages leading up to the end of the year, walking through some passages associated with the birth narrative of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And I want to talk this morning about when God seems silent. When God seems silent. You know, sometimes silence is not a bad thing, right? I mean, what's the saying? Silence is golden. Anybody ever heard that saying? I know that last Monday night when we were over at Dad's, I told you that we had an opportunity to meet as family there. There were 33 people in his house, and it's not a huge house, but there were 33 of us in there. And let me tell you, from 5 to about 7 o'clock, there was a lot of visiting going on, right? Catching up. In fact, one of my dear friends from college, he was my best man in mine and Michelle's wedding. Dewey Watkins and his wife Christine, they were in town, and we had invited them to come over. And so everybody, they were chatting them up, you know, trying to find out what's been going on in their lives. Brad and his family were there, and then the next morning you had a new baby, didn't you? We joked about how Paige ate so much food that the baby didn't have any more room, and so the baby had to come out, right? So there was a lot of chatter, there was a lot of noise, and then sometimes in those moments that we have a lot of things, a lot of stimulus going on in our lives, we kind of remove ourselves and maybe go outside or find a place of solitude, because in that moment, silence is golden, isn't it? You get too much. There's too much going on, and that's when silence is golden. Now, there's other times when I've heard the phrase that the silence is deafening. Have you ever heard that? The silence is deafening. That's the bad kind of silence, right? Where it's kind of overwhelming. It's not a silence that you long for. It's not a silence that you seek out. It's one of those that comes upon you at a point in your life when it's dark, correct? When something has happened in your life where you feel like no one is around, you're all alone, not even God Himself. Now, there was a time in my life where silence was deafening, where it was shortly after I graduated high school, and I won't go in through the entire story because it's lengthy, and I'm not entirely proud of it, but I did something to make my dad very disappointed in me. And as a teenage boy, I'll just leave it at that, okay, that I did something stupid. Sorry, Sarah, I said stupid, didn't I? It was ill-advised. Is that better? Ill-advised, okay? And I did the right thing when I got home. I say I did the right thing. I finally did the right thing. When I got home, I explained to my dad exactly in detail what happened. And he dealt with it as best as he could in that moment. I mean, he didn't yell at me or anything like that. In fact, the exact opposite happened. He set me to the side and he dealt with some other things, and then the silence came. I remember that evening being at the supper table, and we usually watch the news at 6 o'clock, and then what comes on at 6:30 usually? Wheel of Fortune. We were Wheel of Fortune watchers, and Wheel of Fortune's coming on, and I'm trying to engage my dad in conversation at the supper table, because that's what we do. We communicate with one another. Maybe not so much now because we have all our devices, right? But at one time, we used to communicate at the supper table, and I was trying to engage my father in conversation, and let me show you how he was the entire dinner. He was like this. That was the entire dinner. And I would say something to him, and my mom, she would look over at me and she would go. It's silence was deafening in that moment. That was not a silence that I longed for. In fact, I was wanting my father to break the silence in that moment to let me know that our relationship was okay. Does that make sense? Sometimes in our lives with God, the silence is deafening, isn't it? And we just long for God to break that silence, to help us to understand that our relationship with Him, it's okay. It's okay. There are many instances in the Word of God where it seems as if there were silences from God to His people. A notable one you can find in Exodus chapter 2. At the very end, we know this very well, Jacob and his family had gone to Egypt to be with Joseph and his family. And Joseph at the time was had a place of notoriety in the kingdom. In fact, he was second in command of the kingdom. And Jacob and his family lived there for a long period of time and enjoyed the wealth and the prosperity of Egypt in the midst of famine. But then there was the pharaohs lived and died, and then there was a pharaoh who did not know the family of Joseph and Jacob. And we see that during that time that the Israelites grew in number. And because of that, the Pharaoh oppressed the Israelites because they were afraid that they might rebel against them and overtake them. And so they put them into slavery. And there was years upon years where it seemed like God was not hearing the cries of His people. And it says there at the end of Exodus chapter 2, verses 23 through 25, that after a long time, God heard the cries of His people. He broke the silence, didn't he? And in fact, he broke it in such a way that the little baby Moses was born. And in that man, God raised him up over different circumstances to lead His people out of Egypt. God broke the silence. We think about Job, the book of Job. I mean, the first 37 chapters of Job, there was silence from God, wasn't there? Job was asking the question, you know, what's going on, God? His friends were trying to answer the question for him, for God, right? Job, this is what happened. And we have to acknowledge that sometimes in our lives, the silence from God is because of our sin, because we have broken that relationship because of our disobedience. And Job was just, he couldn't understand why God wasn't responding. And you remember in chapter 38, God comes in. And what I love about Job, the book of Job, is that God doesn't address the question directly, doesn't he? He says, Job, where were you when I formed the foundations of the earth? He gave him the right perspective. But he broke the silence, didn't he? He broke the silence and he caused the relationship between Job and him to be restored. Right? Another time in the lives of the Israelites in 1 Kings chapter 18, we see that God breaks the silence after 3.5 years of drought and famine in the land, that God comes to Elijah and he says, get the people ready because I am about to break the silence. And break the silence he did, didn't he? Because Elijah called out and fire came from heaven and burned up the sacrifice and the altar and everything around it, even the water that they had poured on the altar. God broke the silence. And in the Bible, here in between our Old and New Testament, we have a number of years, around 400, a little over 400 years, where it seems that God was silent to His people. At the end of Malachi to Matthew, there are about 400 years. Well, there's no voice from God. And that God breaks the silence to Zechariah in the temple, doesn't he? Lets him know that he's about to have a baby boy. And Zechariah's like, what? Right? How can this be? And he breaks the silence again when he comes to a virgin, Mary, right? And he ultimately breaks the silence in a baby boy coming to this earth. Not any baby boy, just any baby boy. It was the Son of God. Andrew Peterson has a song says this, it's called the silence of God. I'm going to read through this. He articulates it very well. It's enough to drive a man crazy. It'll break a man's faith. It's enough to make him wonder if he's ever been sane. When he's bleeding for comfort from thy staff and thy rod, and the heaven's only answer is the silence of God. It'll shake a man's timbers when he loses his heart, when he has to remember what broke him apart. This yoke may be easy, but this burden is not, when the crying fields are frozen by the silence of God. And if a man has got to listen to the voices of the mob who are reeling in the throes of all the happiness they've got, when they tell you all their troubles have been nailed up to that cross, then what about the times when even followers get lost? Because we all get lost sometimes. There's a statue of Jesus on a monastery knoll in the hills of Kentucky, all quiet and cold, and he's kneeling in the garden as silent as a stone. All his friends are sleeping, and he's weeping all alone. And the man of all sorrows, he never forgot what sorrow is carried by the hearts that he bought. So when the questions dissolve into the silence of God, the aching may remain, but the breaking does not. The aching may remain, but the breaking does not, in the holy, lonesome echo of the silence of God. We have to remember that even Jesus Christ himself experienced a silence from his Father. Remember on the cross? He cries out, my God, why have you forsaken me? So even our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ experienced the silence. What about you? Does it seem like God is silent in your life today? Does it seem like God is silent in the life of our church? Can we talk about that this morning? I want to give you four things you should do even when God seems silent. And I think it's found here in this passage of Scripture. I know that was a long introduction. You're like, when is he going to get to this passage of Scripture? Many times when we look at this passage, we look at it after Christmas Day, because these are events that happen after the birth of Jesus. But I want to look at these events because these two individuals give us the answer of, I think in this passage, and these are not all inclusive, mind you, but I think in this passage they give us four things that we should do when God seems silent. So let's read this beginning in verse 25 of Luke chapter 2. There was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. This man was righteous and devout, looking forward to Israel's consolation, and the Holy Spirit was on him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he saw the Lord's Messiah. Guided by the Spirit, he entered the temple. When the parents brought in the child Jesus to perform for him what was customary under the law, Simeon took him up in his arms, praised God, and said, "Now, Master, you can dismiss your servant in peace as you promised. For my eyes have seen your salvation. You have prepared it in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and glory to your people Israel." His father and mother were amazed at what was being said about him. Then Simeon blessed them and told his mother Mary, "Indeed, this child is destined to cause the fall and rise of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be opposed. And a sword will pierce your own soul, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed." There was also a prophetess, Anna, a daughter of Phanuel, of the tribe of Asher. She was well along in years, having lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage, and was a widow for 84 years. She did not leave the temple, serving God night and day with fasting and prayers. At the very moment, she came up and began to thank God and to speak about him to all who were looking forward to the redemption of Jerusalem. So you have these two individuals that happened to be at the temple. Just happened, right? Just happened to be at the temple at the moment that Joseph and Mary brought Jesus in to do what was customary under Jewish law after a male was born. And so we have these two individuals that I think, and this is my first point this morning, keep looking. When God seems silent, keep looking. Simeon and Anna, they were in the temple. What were they doing? They were looking, weren't they? It says of Simeon that he was looking forward to the consolation of Israel. In fact, it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would see the Messiah before he died. So he went to the temple. Can you imagine this? Can you imagine going? I mean, you are an Israelite, and you had heard the stories, you had heard the prophecies of the coming Messiah, and the Holy Spirit reveals to you that you, before you die, you will see this Messiah. Don't you think you would be at the temple every day? Because you knew what was going to happen, that once that Messiah was born, once that family had that baby boy, that they immediately would bring, after a certain period of time, they would bring that child to the temple to perform the customary things according to Jewish law. So you would be in that temple every day, wouldn't you? He was looking. He was looking. I think Anna was the same. It says that she was a prophetess, so she knew the scripture. She served in the temple. I'm going to get that in a minute. She served in the temple, fasting and praying day and night. I mean, it says day and night. She was looking forward. And in fact, when she saw Jesus, she went to tell about him to those who were looking forward to the consolation of Israel. These two individuals that in the midst of silence, and now remember, 400 years, right, has gone on since they have heard a word from God. And don't you think they heard the news about the angel coming to Zechariah in the temple, right, to let him know that he was going to have a baby boy, and this baby boy was going to be the forerunner of the Messiah? Don't you think that excited them, and they're like, woohoo, it's about to happen. I'm going to the temple today. I'm not going to miss this. I don't care how I'm feeling. I'm going to get there. I'm going to push through this. Because God is about to break the silence. And let me tell you, as in our lives, when things are happening and it seems like God is silent, we need to push through. We need to keep looking because God is about to break the silence. Keep looking. Scripture, you go throughout Scripture, and this idea of seeking God is over and over and over again. Even Jesus himself in Matthew 6:33, he says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and what? All these things will be added to you. All these troubles that you're having, God's going to take care of them. You just leave them to him. I believe that. Keep looking. And then just a little bit later on in Matthew chapter 7, that was Matthew chapter 6, in Matthew chapter 7 in verses 7 and 8, you remember what he said? He said, ask, right, and it'll be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be open. And in literally in Greek, it says, keep asking, keep seeking, keep knocking. That's what we're to do. We keep looking. We keep active. Because God will break the silence. I mean, just think about it. 400 years it took him to break the silence with the Messiah. That's whatever we're experiencing in our lives, we won't have 400 years of silence, will we? I mean, maybe some of you have figured out the secret to longevity of life, right? Maybe you will be here 400 years. I don't plan to be. I'm hoping Jesus will come back soon that I won't. Anyway, we got to keep looking. Not only that, but you see here in this that we got to keep listening. Keep listening. It says here that Simeon, he was looking forward, but it said it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not. And then verse 27, listen to this, guided by the Spirit. You can't be guided by the Spirit if you're not listening, right? You cannot be guided by the Spirit if you are not listening to God. And here you have Simeon, who was looking forward to the consolation of Israel, who had been promised that he would see the Messiah, who had probably heard the news about John the Baptist being going to be born, the forerunner of the Messiah, and he is excited, and he's been going to the temple every day, and he's been listening, and he's been listening, and he's been listening, and on this day, he was guided by the Spirit. And can you imagine that? Have you ever been guided by the Spirit in any portion of your life? Have you ever experienced that? And that feeling that you get, it's exciting, isn't it? When you know that you're exactly where God wants you to be and you're guided by the Spirit. And I can just imagine Simeon was just beside himself, and every family that he saw come in with a baby boy, he's like, God, okay, I'll wait. What about this one? This one? No? Okay. I don't know, the scripture doesn't say that. This is an ad lib right here. But I could, if it was me, I'm talking about if it was me there, if I was Simeon, I would be sitting here. No? Okay. Really? Really? No way. And he comes over and he picks the baby up. And he's finally. You won't have those moments unless you're listening. Keep listening. Psalm 143. I'm not going to include a verse because I'm going to read the entire psalm. It says, Lord, hear my prayer. In your faithfulness, listen to my plea. In your righteousness, answer me. Do not bring your servant into judgment, for no one alive is righteous in your sight. For the enemy has pursued me, crushing me to the ground, making me live in darkness like those long dead. My spirit is weak within me. My heart is overcome with dismay. Do you see this? This psalmist, this is David. It's a cry for help from God. It seems like he's experiencing silence from God, right? I remember the days of old. I meditate on all you have done. I reflect on the work of your hands. I spread out my hands to you. I am like parched land before you. Answer me quickly, Lord. My spirit fails. Don't hide your face from me, or I will be like those going to the pit. Let me experience your faithful love in the morning, for I trust in you. Reveal to me the way I should go, because I appeal to you. Rescue me from my enemies, Lord. I come to you for protection. Teach me to do your will, for you are my God. May your gracious spirit lead me on level ground. For your name's sake, Lord, let me live. In your righteousness, deliver me from trouble, and in your faithful love, destroy my enemies. Wipe out all those who attack me, for I am your servant. You hear this prayer of David in the midst of a time of trouble. And it seems like God was silent in his life, and he's appealing to God. He's praying to him. Notice that even in Anna's life, she came to the temple day and night. And what was she doing? She was praying and she was fasting. She was listening. When you pray to God, don't you, maybe you don't do this. Maybe in your prayers it's just a laundry list. I know at times in my life that's the way I treat prayer. It's just a laundry list of my requests to God, and then I go about my life. I don't give God a moment to respond. That's not what prayer is all about. If you are praying and if you are fasting, you are listening for the voice of God in your life. So keep listening, because he will break the silence. He was faithful to do that throughout Scripture, right? We just looked at just four of the moments. Can you imagine Jesus in the grave? That's silence, isn't it? And then on that resurrection morn, get up. Right? God breaks the silence. Even when things look the bleakest, even in the midst of death, God breaks the silence. Keep listening. Keep listening. And then keep laboring. Keep laboring. Keep working. Look at the example of Anna. It says that she went to the temple day and night, praying and fasting. She was at work for the Lord, wasn't she? I'm sure Simeon, when he went, he was working. We got to keep working. Scripture tells us in Galatians 6:9, what? Do not grow faint. Do not grow weary in what? Doing good. Keep laboring. I think we see in these two individuals' lives that they kept laboring because they, why? Because they knew that God was going to break the silence. They knew the prophecies about the Messiah. They knew the promises of God. And then they knew that he was going to fulfill them. And so they kept looking, they kept listening, and they kept laboring. Because one day, God was going to break that silence. I'm going to tell you, no matter what you're going through in your life, God will break the silence. Keep looking. Keep listening and keep laboring. And lastly, keep lauding. Keep praising God. It's kind of hard in the silence, isn't it, to laud God, to praise him? Anybody? Anybody? I mean, am I alone in this? When things are difficult, it's really hard to see how God is actually moving, not only in your life, but in the lives of those around you. It's really hard to see how to praise him, how to thank him. But Scripture over and over and over again calls us to give thanks to God. We just came out of a season of giving thanks. But it was not just this season that we give thanks, but it should be every day. In fact, and we should praise in Psalms. You go through the Psalms over and over again. It talks about praising God and thanking God in Psalm 34. Let me turn there. I want to read the first three verses of this wonderful psalm. It says, I will bless the Lord only when things are going well. Anybody's translation, does that read like that in your translation? Anybody there? Steve, are you there? I'm going to wait for Steve to get there. I want to make sure our translations line up. Psalm 34, verse 1. Mine says, I bless the Lord only when things are going good. No? What does yours say? I will bless the Lord at all times. Oh, you know what? I misread mine. That's what mine says. I will bless the Lord at all times. At all times, his praise will always be on my lips. I will boast in the Lord. The humble will hear and be glad. Proclaim the Lord's greatness with me. Let us exalt his name together. We must keep lauding God. Even in the midst of silence, even when it seems like God, you know, we have these moments in our lives when we pray, and you've heard it, and you probably even said it in a moment in your life where the prayers don't reach past the ceiling. Now, in here, the ceiling's a little bit higher, so they go a little bit higher than maybe in your home, right? But we have this idea, we have this feeling that our prayers are not going past. But what the problem is, our perspective is wrong. Our prayers don't have to go up to God because he's here. Isn't he? He's here. No matter if we choose to acknowledge it or not, God is here. So keep looking. Keep listening. Keep laboring and keep lauding, because God will break the silence. What about you this morning? Does it seem like God is silent in your life? There's some difficulty that you may be experiencing in this time, and you're saying, Jonathan, I when you said that it seems like my prayers don't go past the ceiling, that's exactly how I'm feeling. I want to tell you this morning, keep praying. Keep praying. But gain the right perspective. Your prayers don't have to go past the ceiling. If you are a child of God, guess what? God already knows what's on your heart. And the Holy Spirit is inside of you. Keep praying, because God will break the silence. I think about our church right now, and I'm sure many of you thought, or are thinking, man, it seems like God is silent right now. He's not answering our prayers. Keep looking. Keep looking, because he's there. Keep listening, because he's speaking. Keep laboring, because he's with you in your labors. And keep lauding him. Keep praising him. Because he deserves it, doesn't he? He deserves it. He's so good. He's so very good. No matter what happens in our lives, we can proclaim that this morning. God is so very good. Keep lauding him, church. I believe it is the best thing that we could do. Maybe this morning, during this time of response, maybe all we do is just sit. Spend a few moments in prayer, reflecting on the goodness of God, and lauding him, because he's so good. Would you do that this morning as we bow our heads, close our eyes? Let's just go into a time of prayer. Let's remember this season that, as Miss Lisa said earlier, it is a season of hope. If for no other reason that we can laud God, it is because we have hope, right? This morning, won't you thank Him? Won't you praise Him? And commit to Him. God, I'm going to keep looking. I'm going to keep listening. I'm going to keep laboring. And I'm going to keep lauding You, because You will break the silence. Father, this morning, we're so thankful for individuals in Your Word that had a longing in their heart for You. Individuals like Simeon and Anna, who kept looking, who kept listening, who kept laboring, and they kept lauding You, because they knew that one day You would break the silence. Father, that gives us hope. That gives us hope that no matter what we're experiencing in our life, and no matter how silent it seems You are, You will break that silence. Thank You that You do. Father, we look back on our lives and we have experienced moments of silence, and You've been faithful to break those silences in the past. We know that You're going to break this silence now. So we give You the praise for that, and we look forward to what You have to say. We look forward to what You have to do, because it will be for Your honor and Your glory alone. How we love You. We thank You for Your Son, Jesus, for breaking the silence with this baby boy who would be the Savior of the world. It's in His name that we pray. Amen.